You're listening to an Irreverent Podcast. Visit Irreverent FM for more content from our friends.
I hate Beyonce and I just came on.
I just came on here to promote my Trump 2024 album.
Oh my God.
I've actually been collaborating with Kid Rock this whole time.
How could you not?
Here's my Trump Bible. We're going to read this.
My upstairs copy.
Just a girl feeling myself to the world, asking it to love me.
Folks, friends, and allies, welcome back and welcome to a special extra and extra special episode of God Has Not Given. As you may or may not know, on March 29th, 2024, which happened to be Good Friday, Beyonce released her eighth studio album, Cowboy Carter. And this episode is all about that. I invited a few friends to chat about it, and we did. And if you've been around for a while, you'll know that I've done episodes about Beyonce album releases and experiences before, so this may not be all that surprising to you. But would you believe it's surprising to me? Due to genocide in Palestine and my general disappointment with the silence of so many celebrities, including Beyonce, I had been steering clear and had blocked most of the buildup out. And so I think it was the day before, it might have actually been the day of, when I saw something that reminded me about it. And I was like, oh yeah. And then it wasn't until I started seeing reviews and think pieces that I was like, oh, damn it, I want to hear it. And so I won't spoil it because we do talk about how I reconciled all that. But long story short, and spoiler alert, I did end up listening to the album. I do love it. And here we are. So without further ado, let's get into Cowboy Carter. Okay, before we get into it, I'm going to have my friends slash guests introduce themselves by sharing a little bit about how they ended up here, by saying how they know me and what their go-to Beyonce track was pre-Renaissance. So now, for real, let's go. First up, Melanie.
So I know Janice because we only they're doing stuff like this. We've done a couple episodes together of Bad Words and... Yeah. And then, you know, you invited us because you know, I'm a fan. So prior to Renaissance, now I was very late to the Beyonce party. But prior to Renaissance, I must have been listening to Formation, which then the algorithm fed me Lemonade, the album, of course. And I was... In fact, it was right during like the kind of wind down of remote school that I got really into Don't Hurt Yourself. It was just a really rough year in the classroom when the kids first started coming back. And I just had a lot of like angst and just anger, just like constantly. And so I would just be like raging to Don't Hurt Yourself, like to and from work. And yeah, I think that was for sure my go-to prior to Renaissance.
Nice. All right. So before Formation, before Lemonade, were you one of those, I don't really care about Beyonce?
It was more of, well, you know, I was in the evangelical world for a minute and then I got married and had like little kids. And so it was more of just kind of an isolation. Like I for sure knew who she was, but I didn't actively avoid her. It was probably more of just not like, there was like a whole gap of quote secular music that I missed out on, you know, like I just, when she was early and coming up, I mean, I was not listening to that kind of music. So then once I got into Lemonade, and even then, that was during the pandemic. So that was like 2021, 22. So I'm like 5-6 years late to Lemonade, you know, and then I went back and started listening to her other stuff and learning more about her and stuff and then becoming obsessed.
We love this.
Good job. Because you have arrived in a very short time. And yeah.
All right. Sarah.
Hello, I'm Sarah. I know Janice because we were in a cult together. Low-key and high-key. But we met in New York at the mega church that we both attended there. And just, I don't even know. I really like to this day don't even know how we actually met, but just cross paths somehow through there and then stayed in touch. And I'm very happy for that. I have been, honestly, I was sitting here trying to think about, like, when did I really become a Beyonce fan? But I think, like, the honest answer is really forever. Like, I was a big Destiny's Child fan. I was kind of, like, peak age for that. Maybe a little young. What were my parents doing? But maybe a little young for Destiny's Child when they first came out. But, like, I just kind of have been a fan from then. And then once the self-titled album dropped, like, and, girl, I was in church, too, at the time. I still was like, no, this is too fire. So I've been in the Beehive for a while, but that was like a definite shift. And then I think Lemonade also was like another shift when I was like, no, this is like some art, like not just like good music, but this is my fandom is showing now. Very early on. I would say it's very hard to pick one song, but Diva is like hands down. That's, yeah, I quote that the most. I've probably listened to it the most. I have the most fun with it. I get the most hype when I hear it, even in all the other tours. So I think that's going to be my go-to.
And last but not least, Joanna.
Ooh, all right. So I know Janice. We go way back. Same cult. And then, yeah, we became friends. And now we're good friends. And I think, so I've always loved Beyonce, but I think I was just like into the singles, you know. I don't remember buying or downloading an album, but you know, like she first came out with Sean Paul, Jamaican artist, I was like, okay. Yeah, so just enjoying her like casually. But I think self-titled was when I really got into it and like loved all the albums. And I think that was when she first dropped her like visual album.
Yeah.
And so for me, I just love when people go outside the box and just, you know, just put themselves on the map. So for me, I was like, okay, Beyonce, like, all right, like, you know, breaking records. And everybody, I remember the frenzy of people just being like, oh my God, there's like 12 videos or whatever it was. And so favorite song, that's so hard. It depends on the mood, but I love EXO for the mood of it. Like, it just takes me to like, we're playing, we're having fun. We're like driving in a car, like chilling with like good friends. I don't know. It just has this feel to it that I just love. And then I like Freakum Dress too for like, just like fun, you know? And just like playing with that. There's so many different types. I love like When I Was a Boy for like, I think her voice is really vulnerable in that song. And it like, it just has all this feeling to it that I like resonate with too. So yeah, I would say those are my Beyonce songs.
I'm Janice. I know me because I've been with me for a long time. For this episode, I picked you guys because I know you guys and I genuinely enjoy you. And, you know, Sarah JoJo, you've been around for a while. But Melanie, you're a new addition to all of this, right? To Beyonce and to my world, but you're solid and you belong here. So very glad to have you guys here. JoJo, you stole my answer. I was going to say EXO, but you mentioned Sean Paul and I was like, oh, like Baby Boy, like that went hard. And that was, yeah. But
first album, right?
Yeah. And so, but like you, I was like a pretty casual Beyonce fan. Like I think Destiny's Child was one of the first CDs that I bought. So I loved them. And then when she went off on her own, I mean, I had been Christian the whole time, but I feel like I put myself in my own little, no, this is secular and, you know, whatever. So I was still, I knew what the singles were, but I wasn't buying the albums. And then it was Lemonade that flipped me. I'm like, I didn't even consider myself like a visual person. And I remember I was getting ready to go to church. And I was like, I'm going to just put this on, like, in the background. It had come out, like, the night before, I think. I'm just going to put this on. And I was just, like, mesmerized. Like, I was sitting there, I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, what is this? And so that's when I started becoming like a real fan. And it even still took a while because like I missed the Formation tour.
Yeah. That's so, always going to be my biggest regret, same.
Yeah. Yeah. Just missing that whole moment. Since then, and then with Lemonade, then I started going back listening. Mm. Listening to more of, you know, the deep cuts. You're like, no, that's just the album. and just been really just blown away by her artistry, her just like timeliness. And I'm like, and I don't know if it's that, is she like prophetic? Is she like ahead of the curve? Or are we just like traveling with her? And then like, you know, we're meaning making people, or are we just making these meanings, you know, and it just fits. But yeah, like it all just feels very prescient.
And I think because it always does, I think that's part of the magic, you know, it always seems to be on point for the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel really blessed to like live in the age of Beyonce. Also like be in the age of Beyonce, because like there are 20-year-olds, there are kids, there are older people, right, who are here in the same time, but like to kind of be in the same like life stage,
yes, as her,
like there's just something about that, and to have like grown up with her and to be here now with her, and it's just like that feels really special.
Yeah,
that evolution feels really cool to have been a part of as well. Like you said, to have grown up with her. Like, I think there's something really interesting about like going through all these different phases with her, because I also don't feel like I Am Sasha Fierce was like a prophetic album. And maybe I was just too young at the time, but like I feel like it's gotten more timely and more, I don't know, prophetic, if you will, as it's gone on. But like, I think that's been a cool evolution to watch too, as a fan. Like, oh, this is just like fun top 40 artists making music, trying to get art, like album of the year, versus like, oh wait, she's got something to say, and she's going to say it, and we better listen.
I was going to say, there's like a marked difference between her, you know, you could tell when she started taking charge of her own music, right? There's a moment where it was just like produced by like the top producers at the time, and you know, it's like good music, but it doesn't really say anything. And then it's like she took the reins and was just like, I have something to say, and I only speak through my music, I don't do interviews anymore. And so you see it happen, you know. And yeah
and
that stuff to me is just like so good.
So even with that, and coming into and coming off of Renaissance, just in this really fraught time and in this really weird moment, the news breaks. And so we know Renaissance is this three-act thing. We're all trying to figure out, what does that mean? We're like, is the concert act two? Will the visuals be act three? And like, none of that is a small thing, but it's somehow we were thinking too small for Beyonce.
Yeah. I know. I thought Act Two was the movie. It was a concert movie.
Right. I thought Act Three. I thought Act Two was the movie, and I thought Act Three was going to be the visuals.
Yeah.
Like something, like all Renaissance though. That's crazy. Sound like, is Act Three like a whole another freaking album? Like,
are we gonna? I love the theories that it's going to be like rock, like.
Yeah.
So cool.
Well, you guys are jumping ahead. No, we're not there yet. So then we find out, no, actually it's going to be a country album. And even with Beyonce being Beyonce and knowing Beyonce is Beyonce, I was like, I don't know about that.
I literally said, I don't remember who I wrote it to, but I was like, I might have to miss this era. You can just like skip me with this era. Like, won't be participating.
I wasn't that like, ooh, but there was a definite like, oh, okay.
You're like, where's my silver? Where's my crown?
Right. I was a little hesitant because of the connotations of country music and... Yeah, I think once again, like I was just thinking too small, because wow. But there was a part of me that's like, okay, listen, I'm going to stand it no matter what, because I've just made being a Beyonce fan my personality at this point. Let's go. I'll get my cowboy boots. But I was also like, I don't really want to.
Yeah, I agree. I was reluctant, I think, just because of, I've been thinking about, you know, I've never been a country music person. I suppose, I mean, the universe is doing things, right? I mean, Tracy Chapman was on stage, you know, and I mean, she would be as close as I ever would have come to a country fan. Maybe some Shania, like, some like light Shania Twain dabbling, you know, but other than that, for me, anything that country had to say, I was never interested, you know? And most recently, I mean, the one guy filming the video who was that guy that was filming the video in front of where the lynchings were happening and stuff.
Oh, a small town guy.
Yeah. Yeah. That guy. And I just was like, I just didn't think it was for me, you know? And then, but then even then when Texas Hold'em came out, like some folks were like, you know, commenting on the lyrics, like, you know, questioning, like, what are we doing over here with this, you know? And then of course everyone in the world has heard it on TikTok. And so they have something to say about Texas Hold'em, you know? And I was still like, all right, I like this. I can do this. Like I have hope, you know, but, obviously, we had no idea.
It took me a while to come around to Texas Hold'em. I was like, yeah, I can bop to this, but it wasn't just like anticipating the album, you know?
No. I mean, it didn't give us really anything. Of, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like Texas Hold'em is like a, is not, I mean, I've told everyone who will listen that Texas Hold'em is not even in my top five. Like, it's not even, it has nothing to do with the rest, you know, like, it doesn't embody the personality of the album at all. Like, if you're skeptical because of Texas Hold'em, just shut up and turn on the music. Like, you know, you'll be okay.
I think it was just so jarring to go from like Renaissance to Texas Hold'em 16 Carriages. Like, because when I tell you, I still play Renaissance, or, you know, especially up in February when we didn't have the gift of Cowboy Carter yet. Like, I was saying to my husband, I was like, I feel like nothing has spoken to me as much as Renaissance did. And like, I didn't want to listen to anything else. So I was still listening very regularly, like up until that announcement on Super Bowl Sunday. And then when I got those songs, I was like, what the fuck is any of this? But I think it, like, after like those first couple of listens, and I was like, no, I'm in, like, I was ready, but I'm pleasantly surprised that they weren't really like, they're a part of the album for sure and fit cohesively, but I agree with you, Melanie, that they weren't like an indication of what the whole album was going to be.
Right. Like, which also is interesting, because usually people lead with their best singles, you know?
She's like, there's just too many to choose from.
Or, yeah, it's interesting. Maybe she picked the ones she thought were, like, the most country to be, like, to signal what was coming. Even though it's then goes on to be, like, a total genre bender.
Yeah.
But it was the same with Renaissance.
Yes.
What was the lead single?
Break My Soul.
Yeah. And I was like, huh? I mean, and like, she's just really good at prepping us for stuff that we're like, I don't know that I want that. And
right.
Like, well, I'll give you this. You're like, it's fine. Okay. But I don't know. And then you're like, oh, no.
And then you get the full thing and you're like, okay. I get it.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah. So with this album and with just the time that we're in. So I was in a weird space. So up until the album, like I hadn't listened to Texas Hold'em. I hadn't listened to 16 Carriages. Like I was just off, and I was just like trying to figure out like, what do I feel about all this? What is going on? And I realized, I was like, I'm not mad at Beyonce because of Palestine and who's not speaking up. I was like, I'm disappointed. And then I was like, but why am I disappointed? Because I don't think I have a right to be. Like, what is that? So before before I could listen to this album, I was like, okay, I gotta sort this out because I don't want to be feeling like a hypocrite. I have to figure out like what's going on here. And so I was thinking about it and I was like, oh, you know what? We live in such a messed up time. Like we're looking at people and we're thinking people have power, right? And I'm like, and it's crazy that like I have higher expectations for Beyonce than I do for the president. And like this idea that she should be able to change the world or fix things. And I was like, oh, I think I'm still being evangelical in the sense that I'm like looking for a messiah. And I'm looking for like who has power, who can save us, who can fix this. And also like I can support them, but then I've done my part. Who can I hand this over to? Give them the responsibility, let them fix it, and just feel good. Like, well, I was on the right side of things, you know, whatever. But then I was like, well, I think Beyonce is a muse. She's not the move. Like, and there's the job is too big. She's like fuel. She's like a weapon. She's like bullets in a gun. Like, I don't expect bullets to feel a certain way about whatever, right? I don't expect fuel to agree with my stances before it's going to power my car. And so I was like, I'm just really glad that she's here at this time. She's doing what she's doing and she's fueling us. Like she's giving us ways to think about things, ways to see things. And I think that's her job. She's not a politician. It's not up to her to save the world. We're seeing dehumanization happen in real time with Palestinians, with people of color, with trans folk. Like we're seeing it happen all around us in the clearly negative sense. But I was like, you know what? It's also dehumanizing when we deify people. Like when we make them gods, when we have these expectations, like we're not allowing them to be people. And so like with Beyonce, and I was thinking about her, because I was like with the cover, with Jolene, with like these simple things, like there's been so much criticism, so much controversy. And I think she knows how much energy she has. She knows what she's putting out. She knows how people respond to her. Like, you know, the folklore behind this album is that it came out of this rejection and this bad experience. It's a lot for anyone to put up with social media and, you know, whatever. And again, because we deify not just her, but like we deify celebrities, we forget that they're human and we forget that they only have a certain amount of energy, of tolerance, of, you know, whatever. So I'm like, she knew. she's however far ahead of us as she is. She knows what she's about to put out. She knows what she's about to go through. And it's like, if we're in a battle, if we're in a fight, we've all got our assignments and we're supposed to go and do what we're supposed to do. And as much as I love you, if I'm supposed to be at point C at this certain time and you're supposed to be at point A, if I see something bad happening at point A, it doesn't help the overall cause if I go back or if I stop and I'm not where I'm supposed to be. So like we all have our part to play in all of this. And it's not fair for me to expect that someone else should be doing what I'm doing the way that I do it in the time that I think they should. So that's where I am. And I was like, okay, no. She's doing what she's doing. I don't know how she feels about things at the end of the day. I would hope that I could guess and surmise based on her music and her body of work. But even if like darkest timeline at the end of the day, she was like a raging Zionist somehow. She knows the world is not with her in that, right? Like she knows I'm Beyonce. I have this platform. I have this power. And even I can't say, you know what? I think Israel is great and I'm on their side because like the mass of the world ain't with it. And so like as dark as things seem, I'm like, it's actually a really good sign that the best celebrities that Zionism can come up with are like bottom tier, bottom rung people. And whatever the best, right, think about it, they know they can't say it, right? Mm-hmm. Even if Zionists are running everything at the back, if they're the puppet masters of all of this, they can't even get Beyonce, Taylor Swift, whoever, to say anything pro. And so I'm like, oh, we're actually doing better than we think. And I think people are mostly good. And this kind of bears that out for me. And so that's where I am with Beyonce and Palestine and all of this. So I wanted to get that out because this is my podcast and I'll take responsibility for Palestine and being anti-Zionist and, you know, all of that. There are no there are no Zionists here. Like, hit the brick immediately.
Yeah.
But having said all that, I did feel a type of way when I first saw that cover. It's like, okay, it's gonna be a country album. We're like, oh, okay, I don't know about that. Here's these songs. Oh, okay, I don't know about that. And then that album cover.
The cover with the sash, like the Beyonce?
And the flag.
Flag.
And
the flag.
Horse and the flag.
I think I only saw it in the context of people talking about it as a rodeo reference. So I think I didn't get that visual, like, what is going on? Without, like, people saying, oh, but that's how people in the rodeo do it. And this is a reference, you know, like the whole thing about, like, you know, the rodeo and... I guess I can't say more. You know, like her attending the rodeo and it being part of Black culture as well, and sort of even like, you know, Black Southern folk feeling unheard and minimized in the culture because you don't really think about rodeo and country with Black folk. And so, you know, that's the perspective I first saw it. And yeah.
I think this was definitely not my first reaction, but one of the things, the idea of reclaiming country. And I think, you know, as we were all talking about Beyonce kind of growing up in with us or in front of us, and I was thinking of her becoming more herself, you know, and like, if Beyonce can't fly the flag, then like who can, you know, why did they always get to fly the flag? Every time I see the flag, why do I get uncomfortable? You know, that's my flag too. This is my country too. And you know, the, like James Baldwin talked about, you know, like, I love my country too. And that's why I say what I say. Like, that's why I criticize my country, you know? And if Beyonce isn't an American girl, then I don't know who is. Right. And so maybe, you know, it's reclaiming and saying like, I get to hold this flag too, with my criticisms of the police and my, you know, like I don't know. I mean, I was just thinking that, why shouldn't I fly the flag? Like, I know the reason I don't, right? But like, what if we all were like, well, yeah, that's my flag too. This is my country too, you know? And we the way we envision the country is as much American or maybe more than, you know, than the what is typically associated with that. So maybe, you know.
I thought it was interesting just like looking at it today. And I was like, oh, there's no stars on this. It's just the stripes. Mm. And yeah, I don't know. Cause like the stars are controversial, right? Because it only counts the states. It doesn't count our territories. Mm. There are states that never wanted to be states because everything is so purposeful. And like, yeah, I'm like, they're the only star on this cover, right? Is Beyonce. Mm. And yeah, and it's just like, you can be one of the stars or you cannot, right? But what you're not going to do is like deny like the stripes of this country. Mm. I think, yeah, that's what this album is.
Some of it is up for interpretation and some of it isn't, you know? Yeah. But both in the album and in our country, some things just subjectively happened. I was thinking a lot after you asked me to be on this podcast. I was like, is she going to be like, now I know you love Beyonce, but she hasn't spoken about Palestine. So what are your thoughts? And like, how can you still support her? I was like, Janice is coming for me. And rightfully so. But I've been thinking about that, you know, the last couple of days that we were thinking of doing this, of like, well, what are my expectations of someone like her? And this is kind of like a broad thought. I smoke a lot of weed, so I have like, you know, sometimes I have stoner thoughts and I don't know if this is one of them. But I was like, I'm honestly, nobody is meeting my expectations right now. This is not my expectation for the world in general. I'm disappointed in everything, in everybody. I don't even know what to expect from someone like her in a situation like this, because in my wildest dreams or nightmares, I didn't think that this would be the reality of the world. Mm. And so I guess my expectation within all of that, of all of us, is just like trying to do our part. Like you were saying, like, what is your role? What is your sphere? The word sphere is a little triggering because of church a little bit sometimes, but like, what's your lane? Like, what are you supposed to be doing? And I think so much of what Beyonce has been doing in the last couple of years, especially, is healing through her music. Mm-hmm. And not only healing herself, but helping us heal, whether it was, you know, through Black is King or through Lemonade or through Renaissance. And now I feel like this, and even with the album cover, like a lot of healing is confronting things that are uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And that's what she does so beautifully and so gracefully and so subtly that we don't even notice. Like, I think when you said there's no stars, we're all like, oh, really? Like, there's still so many things. There's just so many layers to uncover. Mm-hmm. And that's just such a cool little part of it, you know? But I think that's like, that's kind of what I was thinking when I saw the album with the flag and all of that the first time, was just like, damn, like, that is confronting. That's confronting. Like, whether you like it or not, I'm American, I'm country. Like, even her whole narrative, like, I've been country.
Right.
That's what's currently on the Parkwood website, probably to announce the tour on Friday, because Beyonce is still a capitalist. Let's not get it twisted. But it's like, yeah, like all that messaging is just very in your face, very like you're gonna like it or you're gonna take it, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. And she is a capitalist. And I think that's kind of what set me free. And then because I was like, oh, we're all our problems. I'm not mad at Beyonce because of I'm mad at Beyonce because of capitalism. Because I'm like, if I'm honest, I go to work. I work for a company that I don't know what their stance is, but I'm pretty sure it's not pro-Palestine, right? Like nobody in my office is talking about it. And I'm not walking in there kicking the doors in like, hey, you better support Palestine. I'm going to work for this company. I'm putting my labor in and I am, as an American, I'm paying tax. Like I'm supporting the wrong side in a lot of ways all day long. And I'm like, I think we have these expectations on Beyonce, on Taylor Swift, on whoever, because capitalism, they're living lives that we consider like luxurious. And I'm like, at the end of the day, Beyonce is just going to work. She's doing her job. But because it's something that capitalism is so messed up that a lot of us, most, what percent of people would you say like enjoy their job, like get to do what they love for a living? Like it's sad that that's like a luxury, but we kind of hold that against people. And I'm like, they're just going to work, same as me. And I'm not, you know, yeah, I'm talking big on the internet, but in my office, I'm quiet. and I'm doing what I need to do to make money.
Yeah.
And it's not fair for me, again, to have higher expectations on other people. I don't know what Beyonce is saying and doing in her personal sphere of influence. And yeah, so she's not performing the way I wish she would. But I don't have that right to tell her like what to do in her off time.
Yeah.
She's doing her job. She's doing what she's supposed to do for me, which is music.
I think there's so much, there's so many thoughts. Because I agree with you. I was angry for a time, disappointed as well, both though, that I think, you know, yet again, my worldview is changing and things are being shifted and rearranged. And I was just like, where are my faves? Like, where are my faves disappointing me, you know? And also, it's also like validation too, you know, like our voices are constantly being oppressed. And like, we have a whole country of people that are being oppressed and disappeared and removed. And, you know, like who are our champions? You know, going back to what you said earlier, like, where are the people speaking up for us? Like, clearly nobody's listening to our voices, you know? But then I was like, but what am I doing? I am a good keyboard warrior. I'm doing what Palestinians have asked. I'm like amplifying their voices. I'm trying to get attention to them, but I haven't done much else, you know? And is my looking to Beyonce to say something, is that me looking for a proxy when I can't do it? And that is a little bit unfair. And I went to a talk last week, and a friend of mine who's been doing social justice and has literally written books on it, you know, that's what this event was, a book launch. And he was just like, you know, I've stopped judging people. I don't know where they're at. I don't know what's going on in their lives. It's enough that I'm like living joyfully because I need to do that in order to do this and what I'm doing. And I was just like, yes, I'm going to post what's happening in Palestine, all the devastation, but also I'm going to, you know, listen to Beyonce. I'm going to talk about her with friends and enjoy it. And also that is a service to us, you know, if everything is this heaviness, where do you go with it? And she's helping us, you know, it's not, she's also voicing things, right, in her music. And it's also helping us carry on and keep doing what we're doing, you know? So yeah, she's going to work.
Yeah.
At the very least, yeah.
And I think, like, she's, I don't remember who was it, you, Janice, that was talking about after going to Renaissance, you changed almost like the way you were engaging with the world. Did you say that? Like, cause of the way like Beyonce shows up with such like excellence and in the one thing that she does. And I mean, what she gave us is like, it's not just some shit that was produced, you know, like this is like art and mindful and every piece, and whether, you know, yeah, Mr. Washington Post. Yeah. It feels like she's trying hard because she's trying hard because that's who she is.
She's
like
putting in the work. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's, you know, on the Homecoming album when, Blue wants to like sing the song again. I'm gonna try again. She's like, oh, like mommy, because that's what mommy does. Mommy just keeps re-singing the song until it's perfect, you know? And what she just gave, like what you're saying is like, we listen to her and we have this joy. And I, you know, in my post-evangelical life, you know, Easter weekend's a little awkward. It's different than it used to be. And even though we have a church we could go to, that's not a creepy one. But we just, you know, we just don't like, because we don't have to, you know, like it's the weekend. We're going to enjoy our family. We're going to do our thing. But I felt like, you know, she had released this gift to us on Good Friday. And that was my church, you know, that was my blessing. And I feel like it expanded the way, like, I am experiencing the world in this moment, you know, like, mm-hmm. It's bigger, it's brighter, it's thicker and lovelier and just textured. And like, I'm driving to tennis right before I came here, and I'm freaking, you guys, I drive just through my neighborhood to go to tennis, and I am belting the Miley Cyrus duet, just belt. And my whole neighborhood could be watching me in my car belting this song, you know, but like, and it was just out of pure joy that an experience, you know. And I just, like, I think, you know, to the point of humanization versus dehumanization, I wonder if, like, experiencing art and stories and truths, you know, through what people give us, through the stories people are telling, if we are becoming more human, you know. And she gave us that. She gives us that, and she'll continue to, you know.
So. Yeah. Woo. That's so good.
I love that. Ooh. I love that. And also, like, holding on to your humanity.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially now. Oh, man.
Because so much of that is listening and learning, you know? Mm. And there's so much to learn from these albums, even, like, forget the lyrics and the history of the music, but, like, even, which, don't forget those because they're the most important parts, but, like, I was gonna say, like, even just down to, like, learning the new artists, like, learning new people, next generation, like, just hearing new voices and new perspectives is such a beautiful part of what she gives to us.
Mm-hmm. I love that she does that with every album. Every album, like, oh, who's this person? You know?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, let's jump ahead to that. What is your favorite fact or artist? Like, what is your favorite thing that this album has introduced you to thus far?
Shaboozy.
Jay-Z on claps. I think that, like, that was such a pleasant surprise.
Wait, I don't know about this. Tell us, wait, what happened? Jay-Z's clapping?
Yeah, he's credited in the clap section on Yaya.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
Really,
that's
awesome.
Gonna be my new favorite fact. What?
I mean, I love, because I loved the song Blackbird before, but I, like, had no idea that was written for Black women.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite fact too, yeah.
So even in that, I was like, oh, like, we don't, again, we're holding the celebrities we have now to these high standards. Nobody had social media before. Like they weren't on the internet day in and day out. People didn't have these expectations of them. And so with someone like the Beatles, I'm like, I never knew that. So I don't know that was a known fact. And, like, there could have been people who were like, the Beatles don't care about civil rights. The Beatles aren't saying anything. They aren't. And meanwhile, they've written this whole ass song.
Right.
That we've been singing, that we know, you know. And so to hear it on this album and then to find that out, and I'm just like, man, okay.
Yeah, I think that might be my favorite fact as well. And, what, you know, interestingly, and I don't know if she was just nodding along or she was just agreeing with me, but when I mentioned the civil rights thing to my mom about Paul McCartney, she goes, oh yeah, I knew that. And I was like, what? How did you? I was like, you know, so, and, you know, but, yeah, I think that was my favorite fact. And then to, you know, go back and see, like you said, there was an interview from all those years ago. I was like, okay, all right. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So between that and then, Linda Martell and, like, her up and just being like, man.
Right. Like, she was driving a bus at one point in her life. And I'm just like, can you imagine being shut out that you go from, like, performing at, you know, at the top event in country music and then having to drive a bus years later because You were just blacklisted. Just wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also enjoyed the Blackbird revelation. I didn't know that. I thought that was really cool. I was really intrigued by the album cover, like the different spelling of her name and like the historical roots that they weren't able to, like, well, I mean, they had no documentation. Slaves weren't given documentation, so they didn't have like the accuracy anyway. But that whole tidbit was really interesting. I love all the new artists. I think one of the coolest things that I've discovered about the album, and it's through other people, but the tie-ins to Renaissance, like the musical tie-ins and the ways in which like the songs actually flow into each other at certain points, and the acts, like you can play the songs from the beginning and the end of both albums and they'll like tie back into each other and lead into each other.
What?
I thought that was really cool. Like it just kind of brought out a new level of like her musical artistry for me. It was so sick.
I mean, tying into what you just said, that Cowboy Carter was actually written before Renaissance is just and it totally makes sense too, because you're just like, but then can you imagine you have this like magical thing and you're like, no, this shouldn't go first. And just like orchestrating all of that, I just think that's amazing. Because now you see, you know, like Miley Cyrus had put like an Instagram post that like references Cowboy Carter, but like from years ago, you know? So all of these artists just like also holding it that in that they worked with Beyonce and having to like not say anything for 5 years
or
however long it is. Yeah.
Guys, the way I can't keep a secret.
Oh my God. I would have to tell my husband every day. I'd be like, hey babe, you remember that time I got to sing with Beyonce? Because I can't tell anyone else, and he would probably smother me at the, you know, like.
I don't stop telling people that I know people who have worked with Beyonce. Like, I haven't even worked with her, and I will not shut up about other people. Like, never be me.
Dolly, I can't Parton, wait for the day that you do work with her, because that is coming.
Probably already has. She knows what the next album theme is.
Imagine all this, and I'm like, I actually have. Somehow I still get sued. No, I really haven't, and I would love to, and I want to, but they can't hire me because I wouldn't shut the fuck up.
Yeah, same.
I would live vlog the entire experience. I would be on Instagram live the whole time. Oh my God.
Well, the day that she shared everybody's TikToks and stuff, that just, like, I just loved that. That was just the coolest thing.
Oh, I missed that. I must have been.
It was like, yeah, it was like right around, right when she, I think she released the album cover. Mm. And as she was like building up to, you know, the release, and it was just like in her stories or something she shared. And it was just, it was very sweet.
I'm also obsessed with Miss Tina and her Instagram presence.
Oh, like, Miss Tina. She's a proud mom.
She's gonna break those NDAs. Like,
she's me if I ever worked with her. She's like, here's as much information as I can possibly give you, but she has edited this caption. But she's just such a proud mom, and she's so cute. Like, even her complimenting Beyonce's opera vocals, or like,
yeah,
share the fact that Beyonce had said, like, you know, she was so honored to share the new artist, like, but she also had shared a lot of the fan videos, and it was so fun.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, wait, one more fun fact that I learned. I'm glad I remembered this. The Levi's song, she chose Levi's because they were the only brand that would work with them when they were Destiny's Child. And like, Tina was like designing all of their clothes, and everyone was like, no black artist for us, thank you. And Levi's was like, let's go.
I love that.
Isn't that cool?
That is very cool.
Look how it paid off.
I also love they changed their Instagram handle to have the two eyes like on.
Yeah, I saw that. That was very cool.
Oh, I might have to buy some pair of Levi's.
Yeah.
When I start wearing jeans again.
You want
the hard pants.
Exactly.
All right, so let's get into the album. So I asked you for your top three. I still want that. But when was the first time You cried listening to the album.
American, like 23 seconds in. Mm. Like even just seeing the title, American Requiem, I was like, ah, it's over.
I will say probably 16 carriages when it came out and as a single. Yeah, there's just something in it that just, this truth and this vulnerability about it. And yeah, honestly, about like, there's something there. There's something else that we don't know that's there, I feel like. And yeah.
Yeah, from American Requiem through 16 Carriages, it's all, and Protector too, honestly. It's all just goosebumps for me. I'm on medication, so I can't cry anymore, which is a good thing at this point. But like just straight goosebumps for me, like on those four songs, and just Rumi coming in, like sing me the lullaby, like just, yeah, just, and all of the, like when it's like the choral singing, you know, it's just so, like, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking of it now.
Yeah. I will say even Amen in that same, like, it ties it up in a nice bow. But, like, the words of Amen just sort of get to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was American Requiem for me, too. And then I was like, because, again, I hadn't listened to anything else. And so, and I was still like, I don't know, country album, whatever. And then I was like, I like country music.
Yes.
What? And so then I'm thinking about it and I'm like, wait, this is like the flag in the sense that, yeah, this is this thing that we've just given over to these people because they have made it into like this hateful thing. Mm-hmm. But if you take it just on its merits, I'm like, no, it's like, it's storytelling. It's like guitar. Like it's a lot of the instruments that I like. Mm-hmm. It's like things that I like. And then, yeah, just, the choral, just all of it. And I was just like, oh, like this is hitting me harder than Renaissance did. Like I'm loving this more just like from the first song. Like Renaissance, it took me until Alien Superstar, until the very end, which is like, you know, if that's your man, why is he over here? And I just remember like laughing and being like, oh, okay, I like this album. But it was still like warming up and I was like, oh no, she's got me from
track one.
Yeah.
Imagine the hot messes we would have been if she would have released it first, right? In 2022, where we were all,
I heard Protector in 2020.
Right? We would have all been like, and then Beyonce's Protector, the baby. Like, you know, like we would have been, we couldn't have, and she, you know, she said we needed to dance. We needed to dance. We needed to celebrate, you know. And
I think we needed to dance after 2020.
Yeah, like we, I could not. I would have been on the floor, just done, you know, like.
Still felt like to me, like it was transformative and confrontational and healing in a lot of ways, like especially after COVID, not after, but you know, after that period of COVID and whatever. Yeah. But this just feels like so much more on a deeper level. Like it really does feel like it feels so timely for where our country is and where our world is. Like, man, this is, it's confrontational to have to look and say like, this is, it's a requiem. Like this is all, this is dead. Like, look at this bullshit, you know? Mm-hmm. And at the same time, it's still a beautiful celebration of what it was and what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think in terms of like the album, what's the word, whatever, like positions, I think Renaissance, I mean, like when you think of like a story, right, you start sort of light and then you go down deep and then maybe come back up. But yeah, so I think it was good that Renaissance was first. We've danced, we've communed together, and now we're going through this, going a little bit deeper together, you know? So I think that works. But yeah, I remember being a little bit disappointed in Renaissance. Like, what was the title of that track? American something.
Oh, America Has a Problem.
America Has a Problem. And expecting it to be like, you know, this deep thought. And have it not be that. I was like, really, me? So I think this whole album is that. Like, America Has a Problem. Here we are.
And like, because, yeah, America has a problem, like, seeing, we're like, oh, it's going to be political and whatever. Like, no, this is just about her. And it's like, oh, no, she is the problem. She is, yeah, like a representation, yeah, of America's problem. Like, yeah. And because America, the America that we have a problem with, has big problems with her. Mm. And like, and it's just taking it out on her. Like, and we're like, oh yeah, no, you were right.
Yeah.
You are.
She's also the catalyst now for exposing a lot of that. And the, you know, she continues to be the problem.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And she knew exactly what she was doing with this album. Like, she knew what she was going to get too.
Did you guys watch the CMA's performance, or have you watched it recently?
With the chicks?
Not recently.
I watched it in full the other night and I was like, wow, first of all, trash. Not her, the audience. It's like, it's unreal to me how, like, I think, Melanie, I'm not sure your background. I know, Janice, you've been on stage before. Joanne, I don't think you're like a performer or an artist.
But, in my, like, heart.
In your heart. And obviously, like, you should be. And you both, you know, Grammys are on the way. But I don't know, like, just thinking of, like, having been on stage and been in front of an audience before, like, if I've ever been tanking like that, like, I would have never been able to pull that off. Mm. Like, the way she just goes deeper and deeper, and it's almost like you can see it in her face as she's performing and as everyone's just, like, their thin lips and their double chins.
Oh, my goodness.
Watching her, like, you can see her, like, double, tripling, quadrupling down on this. Like, I said, like, I am country. Like, now you have to be educated. Now you have to learn. Like, man, those racists should have just shut up. They should have just clapped and, like, they could have just kept it moving.
They could have been polite at the, yeah, bare minimum if they were just polite.
Yeah.
But they weren't, and they couldn't be.
Yeah.
And now look.
And now look.
And now look what you've done.
Now have a problem.
Now America has a problem.
All right, so the tough question. Top threes.
Two Most Wanted. I gotta put that in there. I love that song and just both of them singing together. Oh, it's so good. It's what I wanted. I was like, harmonies, just good vocals. But also, I love, like, their bond. It seems to be, you know, who knew? Like, I didn't know they were, like, bonded. And then, yeah, so Two Most Wanted for me. Buckin'. Because in my head, there's like a refrain in my head. Bucket. It just keeps playing. 16 Carriages and Yaya. Yaya is so fun.
Yeah.
So fun.
I just want to, like, get up and dance.
Like, I can't. I'm looking at the track list and I'm just like... Yeah. American Requiem, Blackbird, 16 Carriages, Protector, My Rose. Definitely Two Most Wanted. I will say I was in the conspiracy group that thought it was going to be Telephone 2.
Listen, I wrote that too. I was just like, this was meant. I was like, Two Most Wanted was meant for Gaga. And Gaga must have said no or something. Because I was just like, this is Telephone Part 2.
But somebody brought up a good point to me recently that Telephone was actually on Lady Gaga's album, not a Beyonce album. So Part 2 should be on her upcoming album.
All right. We'll accept that.
If not, we can riot, but we can save the riots for now.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely Two Most Wanted. Levi's Jeans is so good.
It's so good. Yeah.
Based
it's
on
tough. I mean, there's so much more. I just had to narrow it down.
I've got to give Tyrant its flowers too. I love that song.
Every time I listen, there's another song that, like, jumps out at me. Did you see, first of all, did you see Dolly Parton getting credit on Tyrant?
I did.
Oh, yeah. Because, yeah.
Excuse me, what?
I'm a tyrant every time I write it. I hope that was written by Dolly Parton.
Oh my God, I'm like dying.
And Dolly apparently, like, was telling people who don't like that Beyonce did the song, like, she came out again and said, I don't care what you think, or shut up, like, which is amazing, which is, you know, this is Dolly. And so, all right, so let me pick my top three. I'll try to be different, because honestly, every time I listen to the album, it's like, oh, yeah, and I love this too. But so I'm going to go Jolene, just because I love it when she says, you don't want this smoke, so shoot your shot with someone else. Like, you know, I'm like, yes, like, I just love it. And then, even though, I mean, like, it, again, it could be anything. Two Most Wanted, though, just like kills me every time. And, yeah, my daughter and I were listening to it, and we were like, man, they sound like a couple. Like, this song is gay. Like, this is good. And so, for what that's worth. And then River Dance, that bounce thing. That is so fun. First of all, can I say, when I saw that on the list, I was like, what are we doing? I was like, what, ma'am? What is happening here? When, you know, when she released the poster look, you know, with the, I was like, River Dance, what is going on? And then, you know, it was so much more than, you know, so much beyond what we could have expected. So yeah, those are my three for this 5 minutes. So that will be changing.
It changes on a daily basis.
Yeah.
It really does. It changes every listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to go, I like the darker stuff. So I like Daughter. Something about Alligator Tears.
Mm.
I don't know. Like, it just speaks to me. And then I'm torn between, so Sweet Honey, like, I like Bucking, but I love just like the sweet honey parts. But then also just Desert Eagle. Mm. Like,
so good.
Just the groove in that, like, I don't know. I will say I love like the blatant love for marijuana in this. And I love how she like had Willie Nelson. And he's talking about, you know, it's the smoke hour, and it's like confronting all these people with all this stuff, because Willie Nelson has been out here. This is one of y'all's country idols, known for smoking weed, loving weed, and right, like, it's this thing that's fine for him and whatever, but like, for Black people, it's a no, right? And we judge people for that very differently. And so, like, just this embracing of, no, like, we're all smoking and it's fine.
Yeah.
Deal with it. Deal with your preconceptions about what that means for different people to be smoking the same thing. So
I think it's even interesting to think about like the different responses to Jolene, like how the notion of like a white woman in whatever era, I don't know what year that song came out, and like how a white woman is begging for a woman not to take her man and the insecurities that she's facing versus how a Black woman would be confronting the same woman. Like, check yourself, people. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand. But I also think it's interesting. Like, I still hear insecurity in Jolene. I don't hear that song and then be like, oh yeah, she's just wanting to be violent. Like, I still, like, that to me is a different version of insecurity, of like, you're not trying to fight someone for your man unless you feel like you really have to, you know?
Yeah. 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 And
then yeah.
It's still the primary. Is she the only credited writer on there still? Like, she.
Yeah, I think it's like a legal thing, though. Like, Dolly will give you the rights to cover it, but she won't let anyone have the rights having the producer or writer title.
You can't like rewrite somebody's stuff. But then also, like, you can't rewrite somebody's stuff. So people like getting all upset. Dolly obviously
said, yeah. Yeah.
You know, the crazy thing is, if like you like the original so much, you could just listen to it.
Well, and she did the whole hussy thing at the beginning, which was awesome.
My gosh.
Like, I want to hear her say the word.
Especially
hussy.
When she said hussy.
Yeah,
hussy.
She says it like hussy. Yeah, like I loved it. I loved it. There's like, you know, the reception of it, right? Like, of... And I think this is what you were getting at, Sarah, like the reception of it, of like, oh, sweet little Dolly, you know, like asking this woman to leave her family alone, her man alone, right? Where Beyonce is a little more confrontational about it. But in the end, the outcome is the same. It's like a woman protecting her family and, you know, just that, you know, just that, I mean, of course, you know, the stigma that Beyonce is going to be treated with, you know, I mean, it's almost like, do we even have to say it? But I feel like we do. It's striking. And even though Dolly is standing right there with her, you know, she's standing right there with her. The other thing you were mentioning about Willie Nelson and Dolly Parton. So I saw, you know, cause I'm a country fan now, apparently. So I saw on like Threads or something where somebody posted like some pictures of Willie Nelson and how, you know, he's apparently a very inclusive guy. He works with like, I believe what I read was that he works a lot with queer folks and Black folks and just a very inclusive guy. And of course, Dolly is very inclusive and very, you know, and it's like, and yet, all the country people are like, well, Beyonce is not country. Like we're, you know, and it's like, but your heroes are disagreeing with you, hon. Like, you know, and it's, yeah, it's like this little box, you know, like this little box that they're like, you know, oh yeah, Willie Nelson, he smokes weed and blah, blah, blah. And that's fine. You know, I just love how it's just breaking everything out and revealing that these artists that they admire are standing right there with her, you know, they're including her and welcoming her and, you know, I mean, they wouldn't put their names on it if they weren't proud to do that. You know, it's an honor to work with Beyonce. So.
Right. I love that. I love seeing that support like wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And like who gets to gatekeep country? Like it's so ironic that like, this music was co-opted and now you're gatekeeping the very people who like created it, you know? Yeah. And then, but you're fine with the Keith Urbans, Shania Twain, you're fine with letting like non-Americans, you know, sing country, but an American who grew up in Texas because she's Black can't sing country, like,
And it's also cool, like with Willie Nelson and Dolly Parton, because these are older, wealthy, white people. And it's like, that's the exact demographic that we tend to excuse, right? Like, oh, they're old, they're rich. Of course, they're going to be, you know, a certain way. And then it's like, no, they don't have to be. It's a choice. Like,
it's a choice.
There are other people, like Reba supported, like she posted about it. You know, there are other support coming from like, country standard bearers. So, you know, if they're fine with her singing country and love it and support it, like what excuse do you have to still be, you know, not doing the same?
Not anybody, I guess, because people can have their opinions, but the people who are like just such vehement, strong haters, it's like these literal icons are supporting her. Like, especially within this genre, but like across the board, like I don't know who said it, but someone said like, it's literally an honor to work with Beyonce. So it's like, so everybody else is wrong and you're right. You little Mary in your little Idaho town with no culture or exposure, you're right. Because you don't like Black people, Beyonce can't do this. Like Beyonce's bad. That's honestly to me, like that's what it comes down to. Like I don't want to just throw that on every single person because sure, maybe you have different musical sensibilities, but then like, just don't listen. Right. If I really think if you're trying so hard to prove the point that she's wrong, like, I'm sorry, but you're wrong.
And Dolly, I feel like, you know, she approaches the world with such a joyful, like, it just such a joyful attitude, you know, and maybe that will be inviting to people of like, you know, like she's welcoming and look at how happy she is. Like maybe you could have a piece of that joy as well by welcoming people and loving people and being generous. You know, we can hope that people will see that.
All right. And on that positive note, perfect album, no skips, but you had to skip one.
What would it be?
Well, at this point, I've played Texas Hold'em enough. Like I've played it enough. I mean, I was still listening to it multiple times a day prior to the release of the album. So like, I've gotten enough of Texas Hold'em. And, I mean, and you just have to turn on the internet, and it's, you know, someone's dancing to it. So
that's one way to do it. I agree.
No, you can't agree. Has to be.
Okay, don't hate me. I didn't love Jolene.
Ooh.
You're not alone. You're not alone.
Don't hate me.
I gotta go. Bye. What didn't you like about it?
Okay, I love, like, the first listen was good, but I feel like I got it. You know, it's like, okay, you switched it up. That's great. Loved it the first time, but then I'm like, okay, I don't need to listen to this again, sort of thing.
Like, it's still the song Jolene at the end of the day. Like, it's not
yeah.
like it's like,
yeah.
I mean, it is, but like.
And how right. many.
And there's nothing like extraordinary that she does with it, apart from the changed lyrics that I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And how many chances are we giving Jay-Z here? Like, you know, like, you're married to fucking Beyonce. Like, what in the fuck? Like, you know?
I mean, he went to therapy. He's fine now.
Oh, okay. But she's still singing
all the songs, though.
Yeah. You're like, yeah. So, I mean, it does kind of make you wonder, you know? Like, I think being a background clapper is the perfect job for him at this point. He's lucky.
He knows how to stay under the radar.
I skip 16 carriages sometimes because I don't always feel like sobbing. Mm. So...
fair.
I was also in the crowd of crying for that song, like, before the album, so I didn't cry when I heard it again, but, like, yeah, like, it, I never know when it's gonna hit me, so, like, if I'm in the car, especially, like, I can't, like, I need to be able to get
my cry.
But it's not because it's not amazing and I don't love it, it's just because I'm
yeah, out of tears. That might be a bit of a cheat by saying that you're skipping it because it's too good, but... if Janice allows it.
Well, yeah, they're all good. Yeah, mine would be Bodyguard.
Hmm.
There's just something about...
interesting.
Something about the instrumentation. Like, it has... like, there's just the vibe. And I was like, ah, it's just not my favorite. And it's not like... it's not the song. It's just like this vibe. Like, I wouldn't like this. Like, I feel like I've heard this before. I don't know what song this is reminding me of, but it's just like, eh. And it's not bad. I'm just like, eh, I don't need it. So this is act two. What in the world is act three?
Oh, goodness. I need some rock and roll, baby.
Feel it.
I wasn't sure about the whole rock vibe, and then so I basically joined Thread for Beyonce. Like, I literally love like it. Just have it for that, and so that's all I've ever seen on Threads. And I'll probably leave in a week or two when that dies down. And but someone posted that a rock album would be an entire album of Don't Hurt Yourself. And I was like, okay. I was like, I can deal with that. Like, yes. Yeah, I mean, whatever it's going to be, I mean, this is just total fangirl to say, but like, whatever it's going to be, like, it doesn't exist yet. Like, it's new. It's because this is country, but it's new. It's mm-hmm. a new, you know, birth of it, you know? And so whatever it is, like, we can characterize it, but it will be her way. So it'll be way better. You know?
It's definitely American.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely going to be something American because you took like the disco dance, mm-hmm. Country. So I'm like, what are other, but then I'm like, in America, we're very America centric. So basically all the music that we love is American. At first, I was like, maybe it'll be like gospel. But then I was like, I don't want a gospel. Unless it's like not about Jesus, right? Like if it's just something else. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe it's going to be like, maybe like operatic or like theater, musical.
She did give us that like opera hint in, I forgot which song.
I mean, she does it.
What do you think about her opera voice, Sarah?
Beautiful. So pretty.
Like stunning. Like, I mean, who knew she could do that? Like, I mean, I guess she does a lot of things, but it's pretty amazing.
She sang opera in like one of her old like TV movies. I forget.
She did hip opera. She did a whole hip opera.
Oh, that's pretty. Yeah. I think that's what I'm thinking of. I'm like, she did something.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. I also think it's rock. But now I don't know, because since we've like predicted it, that's why I was looking.
Right.
There was something I saw the other day that was like all the Easter eggs that she's dropped that it's rock music or it's a rock album, but I couldn't find it.
It's going to be like all the things.
Maybe it's like a rock opera.
Ooh.
But why I think it is rock is, again, that reclaiming, sort of like reclaiming disco, reclaiming country, and reclaiming rock and roll.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
But it makes too much sense.
Do you think she's really going on tour again?
I was thinking she would probably wait till Act 3, but who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. I read somewhere that the prediction is that she'll do the residency at the Sphere. And so then, and I was thinking that would actually make a lot, because she did the commercial with the Sphere. And then there were all the rumors about the residency. And I was thinking that would probably make a lot of sense, right? So she did the big tour, right? And that was probably taxing on the family, right? Mm-hmm. And so then if she did the Vegas residency, then everyone can just travel to see her. And they could rent a swanky place and, you know, probably buy a place or whatever.
Yeah, start saving up our ducats for Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. I don't go to a lot of live music because I don't like people. But I thought that the vibe at the Renaissance show was like so, like every single person was just polite and just, and it wasn't like overly like affectionate or anything. It wasn't weird, but it was just no, like I did not over the course of the entire night see one person be rude to anyone. It was blowing my mind. Like, were your shows like that too? Were the vibes just like immaculate like that?
Yeah.
And so my second question is this common at live music events?
I mean, I have a rotator cuff because someone pushed me at the symphony. So
at the symphony?
In my experience.
Oh my god!
Like I literally think about that all the time.
How that violin just really got them going, and they just—he
was like, "Not today, bitch!" Like, no, I'm like you. I don't like to go to concerts and events, but I do because my husband likes to do that, and I'm always at concerts. Like, ooh, get away from me! Like, this sucks, but. No, or like there's somebody who's just like drunk and unruly.
Right, just the crowds of people, like the statistical likelihood is someone's going to be an asshole, like, right? And I was blown away that entire night just of all of just the vibe was just perfect, you know, like everywhere we went. And then just getting out of that place was like, they shuffled us through a tunnel and wall-to-wall people and bumping into each other. So not one rude person, not one drunken idiot. Like it was just, I don't know. And like, for me, like, that's why I want to go back. Cause I'm like these, I don't know, like we're not going to hang out again, but like, these are my people and we need to be together.
We need a space together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. It felt magical.
Yeah.
Felt like love.
And even though she, in Chicago, she went on super late. She was like, I think it was like 90 minutes or maybe even more past like the start time. Oh. I think we were supposed to start at 7 or 8 or something. I think it was supposed to start at 8. I don't think she went on until almost 10. Oh. And I was just like, whatever. Like, I would have waited.
You went on early in LA the first night.
Did she really? I think I heard that.
I was dying. I was in line at the door. And I was like, is that Beyonce?
Oh my gosh.
From DJ Khaled to her. Yeah. I had to run. Still got my drink though.
I mean,
I waited that long.
All right. Well, I think we've done it all, said it all. This was great. Okay. Any closing thoughts? Final words?
I love it. I love that we can talk about it. I love that it's adding this lightness and joy to my life right now when, you know, worlds are changing. And so thank you, Beyonce.
Yeah. Like you said earlier, Janice, like we're pretty lucky to be sharing this world with her. You know, she's given us a gift. And thank you for having this. This was really fun. Not everyone in my life wants to spend 2 hours talking about Beyonce. I don't know why. I don't know why.
It's been 2 hours? Oh my God. I think you really like Beyonce. That's funny. It's been so lovely chatting with all of you.
Thank you guys for being here. And yeah, thank you, Beyonce, for being.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
And that's that. Kinda. As I was editing this episode, I realized that in my enjoyment of the conversation, I forgot to share my own closing thoughts about the closing prayer of Cowboy Carter. So I wrote a blog post that says, in part, there are whole other essays, probably easily a whole book that I could write about the expectations placed on Black women to prove themselves worthy of being listened to by being humbly exceptional, selfless saviors, and perfect sacrifices, and the many, many ways that Beyonce consistently fails at all of the above by not being humble, maybe a little too confident, while definitely being too capitalistic, and by not letting others dictate how she appears on her platform or ways that she should be willing to die on it. Dun, dun. So that's a tiny excerpt. To read the whole thing, you can head on over to janicelegata.com/blog or godhasnotgiven.com, or just look for the link in the show notes. And hopefully, I'll see you over there. But either way, thank you for joining me for this episode of God Has Not Given. If it has meant anything to you, sparked anything for you, or was just a general good time, please let somebody know. Share this episode with a friend. Leave a rating or review on the podcast app of your choice. Let me know by leaving a comment or a series of thoughtful emojis on Instagram. And until we meet again, please remember, you can believe better things, and I hope that you do, because your life is yours and you should enjoy it. So take care of you, be well, and I will speak to you soon.